Happy Wednesday, everybody. April 3rd, good old 2024. It's amazing. The first quarter of 2024 is already gone, but welcome to Thriving in the Modern Economy. And my name is Chad Johnson. I've got my co-host, Bob Stagger, and our special guest today, Paul Carney, who's going to share some really great insights about AI and ChatGPT and all the tools that are out there. And so, Paul, why don't you introduce yourself to everybody real quick and give them a little level set on you, and then we'll get into it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Chad and Bob. Pleasure to be here. My name is Paul Carney. I'm the Chief Human Resource Officer for Carter Bank and Trust. We are based in North Carolina, Virginia. And on the side, I do a lot of studying and learning about AI, generative AI in particular, and helping people understand how to use the tools that are out there.
Nice. And Bob, for anybody that doesn't know you?
Yeah, I'm the founder of Spearpoint Solutions, and I can hear the testing of the emergency siren system going on in the background. I promise we do not have tornadoes. But every Wednesday, first Wednesday of every month at noon, they do that. So I'm the founder of Spearpoint Solutions. We do two different things. We train organizations on how to implement purposeful creative thinking for practical use in developing better ideas in every aspect of their business. And for those companies who don't necessarily want to have our training but need better ideas, I apply those same concepts and design strategies for them to help them compete better in the marketplace.
Nice. Now, I'll tell you, I'm in Oklahoma right now, and believe me, that test siren, that's actually the song of the people here in Oklahoma, Tornado Alley. For anybody that doesn't know me, my name's Chad Johnson. My company is Best Life Ventures, and what I do is I teach a limitless pipeline. I teach salespeople, business owners, and sales teams how to navigate prospecting and bringing in more clients and building a limitless pipeline in less than 90 days. And it's pretty much the topic that I'm going to talk about today. It's funny. I've been in sales leadership and helping salespeople and sales teams for over 20 years. And the reason I've always enjoyed it was because I loved watching people win. I loved watching salespeople succeed and grow in their careers. And I got one of the best emails I've gotten in a long time yesterday. As a matter of fact, one of the larger clients I'm working with right now, a team of individuals, one of the individuals emailed me and said, "Oh my gosh, I have hundreds of leads and I need help because I've got to process them. I need to get through these." And I'm like, "Oh my goodness, what a terrible problem to have, hundreds of leads." Now, less than 60 days ago, this same person was struggling to make 8 or 10 appointments in a month and to find prospects to actually engage with and call on. And now all of a sudden, in less than 60 days, has hundreds of leads to process. And it really goes back to I think one of the first things we learn in sales is know your customer. And it's not just about knowing their business and knowing a little bit about them. It's also knowing about their habits. What do they do? How do you reach them? What are their interests? What is their MO, if you will? You know, how do they operate? And today, people operate online. They're not really taking cold calls and they're not answering emails anymore. So if you want to, generate curiosity and build interest in your clients, you have to have a strong online presence. You have to get out there and get your message to them in order for them to be able to see it where they are. And by doing that, you're still going to call them, you're still going to email them. Those things are not going to go away, but they're just not your first point of contact anymore. Really, that's what it comes down to. And I would probably say, Paul, you probably experience this a lot. I mean, especially with AI. Tell me, does that sort of resonate with what you do in your business there?
It does. So on the AI side, yeah, what's really interesting. So I publish a bunch of newsletters. One of them is an email-based one, and a couple of them are on LinkedIn. And I actually get more traction from the LinkedIn ones. People correspond with me through them more. The email one's there, but I even have a little thing in the email because you're supposed to help people figure out that you don't land in the spam box to reply back and just indicate something. Maybe two have ever done that. And so you're right. It's people don't use email. My kids do not use email at all. They're 31 and 28 this year. So it's that direct messaging, that DM through something like LinkedIn is powerful.
Yeah. Bob, and I know you know that well because you and I mean, that's how we connected, a year and a half ago, a year ago, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't have happened any other way. I know myself, you know, even as a senior leader in sales in large corporations, there was probably a decade I didn't answer my phone, especially if I didn't recognize the number, you know, and I had somebody who would check my voicemails for me to see if I missed somebody important or to tell me who was necessary to call back. I mean, and that's a lot of senior leaders. That's a lot of decision makers that do that. And that's really important. And I like what you said, Paul. I don't know if I want to get your take here in a second, but I know, especially dealing, you know, with businesses, B2B for sure, that, you know, 50% of B2B buyers, they use LinkedIn as their most trusted source for social media to help them to buy. I mean, that's their thing. And 75-80% of all B2B buyers start and pretty much complete about 75-80% of their buying journey on social media, you know, primarily LinkedIn. I mean, so are you dealing a lot with businesses or individuals who own businesses, or tell me a little more?
You know, it's a combination of both, because when it comes to generative AI, there's people that are just curious about it themselves as an individuals. If they're trying to update their resume or plan a family vacation, whatever it is, that they're interested on that level. But you're right. There's a lot of, and I would say small to mid-sized businesses. Some of the larger ones are out there, but it's the small to mid-sized that are just looking for the right resources to help them figure out what these tools are and how to use them in their business.
Yeah. And Bob, I know you know, with purposeful creative thinking and the What's the Big Idea game, you work with a lot of organizations. I mean, what do you hear? I mean, what do you feel from them as far as how they're interacting with their customers? Have they seen a shift, and do they talk about it with you at all? Or?
Well, I can tell you that in building the SpearPoint Solutions business, and in the 17 years I spent in financial planning prior to starting this company, relationships are everything, right? And you can't really build a relationship. You know, an interesting phenomenon I've seen, you know, as a decision maker with a company, my email address is out there. It's on a million lists, right?
Yeah.
And I have people constantly bombarding me with sales emails. And almost invariably, there will be like a footnote that says, you know, if you're not interested, just tell me and I'll take you off my list. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't ask to be on your list in the first place, you know? So that just, even if you had the most compelling sales message in the world, doing it that way just turns people off. I mean, you know, I think if you add value first, through the process, like what you're talking about, Chad, you're going to be much more likely to have your target audience be receptive to at least hearing your message and not just being immediately turned off by a cold email or a cold call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's so important too, because not only is it just people's preference, you know, has changed, you know, maybe 20 years ago, A call during the day was a pleasant interruption maybe to what they were doing versus today. But not only that, it's also legislation. I mean, there are so many countries around the world, the EU, Australia, Canada, that are legislating that businesses can't email and call other businesses, not just people, not just regular consumers, other businesses. Like in Canada just recently put a law into effect where a business cannot email another business without consent. They have to opt in, which is, yeah. Now talk about email getting shut down in Canada, right? They have to consent, which means they have to have visited your website or they have to engage with a piece of your content. And then they have to have opted in to be able to, for you to email them with your information. Maybe, you know, or that's just weird. And I hear people say, well, that's not going to come to the States. I'm like, you think? We already have no call, you know, lists and all these other things. What makes you think that we're going to be any different than the rest of the world? It might take a little longer to get here, but it is going to get here. And that's one thing that I talk a lot about with senior leaders, because, I mean, let's face it, I'm not trying to be rude, but a lot of senior leaders haven't carried a book or sold anything in 20 years, 15 years, you know, and, you know, I get it. Their role doesn't require it. They're in different spaces and things like that. And that's one thing that I think I always enjoyed is no matter what title I had, no matter what my position was, no matter what responsibilities I had, I never stopped selling. I never stopped engaging customers. I never stopped prospecting. I never stopped being in the trench because I realized that the best way I could help anybody that I work with, the sales teams that I work with or individual salespeople, is the fact that I had to do it. I had to actually continue doing it to keep my edge sharp. I didn't know what they were facing every day. And I did that and I still do it today. And I think that's really what it is, you know, when I share this information, people use it, they're like, wow, it was exactly like you said it was. It's like, well, sure, I do it. I'm not teaching you theory. I'm not teaching you something I learned in a webinar. I'm teaching you what I do, what works, what I've taught hundreds of other salespeople to do and that are being successful with it. Just like, you know, the salesperson that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you know, 60 days ago, couldn't find a prospect to save their soul. Now they have hundreds of leads that they're processing. And it's all because it goes back to method. People still want to buy, but that's the key. They want to buy. They don't want to be sold. And, you know, we really need to focus it into, it's not about your pitch, it's a conversation. I mean, I had a senior leader in a large organization tell me several months back, and I've mentioned this before to Bob, I think he laughed pretty hard. Paul, you might enjoy this, is the fact that, and this is like an SVP in a major corporation, said to me, he goes, yeah, he goes, I'm going to tell you, that elevator pitch is disgusting in sales. And I go, really? And he goes, yeah. He goes, the elevator pitch is kind of like the equivalent of walking into a bar, strolling up to someone you've never met without saying a word to him, go, your place or mine. Like, holy crap. I'm like, if that doesn't set a tone, you know, I don't know what is. What will? I mean, that's the way that, you know, buyers look at it. They're like, yeah, it's offensive. I've had other leaders tell me, you know what, going into that sales process with some of these salespeople, it's more painful than the problems I've got. I've got to deal with the problems that I have. I'm like, wow. So that entire shift to, you know, how you engage them, how you generate that curiosity and build that interest in your services, in your product, and really talking about the problems you solve and the sorts of situations that you've handled and the results that you've brought is really where it's at. Give people that option to choose you, and you have to be visible to do that. So Paul, kind of tell me, how are you doing? I mean, AI, of course, is all the rage. You know, everybody's knows about it. It's amazing how many people aren't using it yet. But tell me, how are you reaching people and spreading the message and telling about your AI and talking about that?
So really, it's just trying to provide information. That's what I'm really at right now. Like I said, the newsletters, consistent posts on LinkedIn. I'm publishing documents around my website people can load. In fact, I have an ebook I'm going to publish called 101 Things You Can Do with AI in HR. It's almost 110 pages long right now. It's a comprehensive guide to help people understand. So really, I'm in that stage, is helping people understand what it is and what it can do for you, and then hopefully move into the stage where they can say, okay, I understand that. Now what do I do with it? I had a session yesterday, with a training session with some folks. We barely got through half the material because they were just so excited about basic things I was teaching them about how to create a prompt. We didn't even get to the more advanced pieces and parts. So it's going to be a journey. It's a journey for me. And sometimes I have to be patiently impatient or impatiently patient, whichever one works, to be able to say, you know, I want people just to be able to say, get this information, let's go. But I just every day just put stuff out there. That's my goal.
That's kind of instructive, I think. Do you mind if I interject a point here,
Chad? No, please.
So I think previously, most people, both in sales and people who just, you know, new salespeople, they viewed them as being in the interruption business, right? Like, you know, I'm going to interrupt your day with something that I think you might want to hear about. Now, I think really effective selling in the modern economy is the service business. Yeah. You are there to serve people, teach, educate, add value up front. I think that really is the model that works. What's your and Chad's opinion on that?
I think the hardest part from having been in sales myself back in the day is it's hard to put that ROI and put them in your CRM and that stuff, because everyone starts asking you, well, where are your prospects? Where is this? I don't necessarily know. And that's the hard part about it, because you're just putting information out there. You know, I get people walk up to me and they've seen, in fact, one woman said, "I'm sorry, I stalk you on LinkedIn." I mean, what do you mean? She goes, "I see all the stuff you're posting. I love this thing you put out there." She goes, "But I don't comment and I don't react." And I'm like, okay, but I can see the impressions. So I know people are seeing these, and there's a lot of that out there. So I think that's the hard part about that, setting it up that way, is the typical sales process or salespeople are going to be like, "But yeah, but who is paying attention? Who are your prospects?" You know what I'm saying? It's hard to connect those two.
Yeah. I call those the lurkers.
Yeah.
And they're afraid to like or comment or anything like that, because they don't really want you to approach them yet. They're not really ready to have that conversation, but they're ready to continue for you to give them reasons why they should. Right. And that's what's really important, because I have people tell me, impressions don't mean anything. That's just how many times it appears on a screen. And I'm like, really? I don't know about that, because, you know, how many of those people are watching and learning and picking up, and you're generating and building an interest, and one day they're going to reach out to you. Right. Or one day they're going to put that comment on there so that you can reach out to them. It's really what it's about. I look at now as this is kind of like one of my credo sayings, is that content is the new cold call. It really is, because it's out there and it's 24/7, unlike a normal call, and hundreds or even thousands of people can see one single message. And basically what you do is you pinpoint problems that people have. You know, look at it like a wheel. The center, the hub, is the problem. And there's all these different spokes, different angles that you can talk about that problem from. And one of them, or dozens of them, may resonate with your particular audience and people that are wanting to buy from you or have a desire for what you need. And that's where it's going to be. I call it the pharmaceutical approach. It's like, are you tired? Are you depressed? Do you have all list everything in the book? They know somewhere along the line you're going to go, "Yeah, I got that. Yeah, I got that. Okay, got to take this pill." You know, I mean, not to be tacky like that, but really, it's a matter of sharing those problems and the real life experience, letting people know they're not alone. One, mm-hmm. that other businesses, other salespeople, other companies are experiencing the same thing, and then how they dealt with it and how you were an integral part of that. And that's really all that makes the difference. You tell people what you do.
Yes. Yep. Sometimes people are sick and they just don't even realize they're sick.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Well, Bob,
Sorry, Chad.
I was going to say, I'm going to get off my soapbox now, I think, and I'm going to turn it over to you and Paul.
And we've got some fun stuff to go over with you guys. You know, as if you followed the previous editions of our little Lunch and Learn here, you've seen that we started off trying to teach purposeful creative thinking one way, and then I decided, you know, in our events that we do, it's very interactive. I mean, people just learn better when they're involved. So I do have just a couple of slides I'm going to go over with you, because I'm going to teach a mini lesson on a new creative thinking method here. But then Paul and I, we challenge our guests to use this method that we're teaching today and come up with an idea for their own business. And me, as the creative idea person, I come up with an idea too. And then you, as the viewers, you get to decide whose idea you like better. So let me go over just a couple of slides. Let me share my screen here, and then we will jump into this as soon as... All right, here we go.
All right, let's see.
So this method that we're going to talk about today is called... jumped ahead of myself. It's called eliminate or minify. And what eliminate or minify is it's a simple way to see potential opportunities to add value in new ways with the same product or service. And some questions that you want to ask in using this method is, what should I omit or understate or delete altogether? What's not necessary? Could I divide it? Split it up, separate it into different parts? What if this were smaller or more streamlined? Can I make it miniature, condense it, or compact it? couple of practical applications that a lot of people are going to be familiar with out there in the real world. Micro machines. I don't know if micro machines are still around, but they were a hot, hot toy back in the 80s and 90s. And they were these little miniature, finely detailed vehicles that really gave Hot Wheels a run for their money. Another practical application, vehicle leasing. Let me back up a step. You don't necessarily have, this doesn't have to be applied to a product, right? I mean, vehicle leasing is a financing method. What does it eliminate? It eliminates a portion of vehicle ownership, right? And so people only pay for the time that they have the car, have them drive the car. Another product application, Polly Pockets. I remember when my older daughter was little, she had every Polly Pocket in the world and all the accessories, right? Another service-oriented application of this, LegalZoom. It eliminated the lawyer from routine legal work. Right. And ironically, was founded by a lawyer. Isn't that funny? Another one that's becoming more and more popular is tiny houses. Right. The scale of everything has switched. And probably the most humorous one recently is a Baby Yoda. The Baby Yoda memes everywhere. And I just wonder how many Baby Yodas they've sold as a result. Here's a pretty cool one that a lot of people don't think about is ordering kiosks or mobile apps for ordering at fast food restaurants, right? That I remember the first time I saw one of those a few years ago, I'm like, boy, that is creative. That is using this to a great degree. A question that you always want to ask is, in what ways might you eliminate something or miniaturize your offerings to provide uniqueness and value? So Paul already introduced himself here, but you know he's doing a lot of work with artificial intelligence and how to use that to be effective, more efficient in your business. And so what the challenge that he and I had for today was what ways might he eliminate something or miniaturize his offerings or his posts or newsletters about AI in order to make them unique and add value in the marketplace. So let's jump into our challenge here, Paul. And I'm going to have you, let me stop sharing my screen, guys. Paul, I'm going to have you tell us, you used this method prior to coming on live today, and you came up with an idea or two. And so tell us about the idea that you came up with, and I've got a couple that I'm going to go over with you too.
So the idea I've come up with is this. There's generally a lot of meetings that go on to determine where do we go, what are we doing, how do we package this, price this, put this out there. And you know how meetings go. We started using some different things, like one called Otter.ai, to record those meetings and kind of then give us a summary later so we don't have to worry. We can have our discussions and not worry about it. So that's one way of minimizing it and miniaturizing it so that we don't have to spend the time. We can focus on the things we do best. One of the pieces, though, that came out of that is, what if we just had agents, our AI agents, that already knew what our opinions were and what we wanted, and have them attend the meeting so they just sit there and battle through all the concepts and then come back to us? Literally, we can have it all do that, and then we just refer, we go back to the notes and have our meeting about the notes and say, yeah, okay. So it's kind of a weird concept. I'm a big picture thinker, but imagine having our agents knowing what we want to get out of the meeting and have them work the details out.
Now, okay, as a total AI novice here, that's possible?
Yes, yeah. You could actually have AI agents coded to sit there and work with each other. We code them behind the scenes in computers, but someone could write the interface to do that, to be able to say, have them take my thoughts and ideas and then go work out the details.
Nice.
That's freaking brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that wild? It's crazy. It freaks people out.
Well, you look, it's reality. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, the internet back in the mid 90s. I remember seeing organizations debating on whether they were going to have a website.
Right. or right? to give internet access to their folks. That's still debated by a lot of companies.
Yeah, and to kind of tell you kind of a funny story, I remember talking to a guy about internet connectivity. I forget what year this was, but he said, look, broadband connections are going to be everything in the very near future. And I had a dial-up connection at that point. I'm like, man, I was just doing some reading about this, and like broadband connections are only like 20%. I just don't see that happening. Well, he was right.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, too, because you mentioned in the middle 90s when the internet really was starting to fire up. I remember I had one leader who's like, yeah, the infomercial superhighway. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah, it's a fad. And I go, he goes, yeah, it's a fad. And I go, kind of like TV and radio, I bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, you know, there's never a shortage of detractors. So let me share with you, and I got to read off of my notes here. So I apologize, guys, if I'm not looking directly at the camera. But first, I want to tell a story. This, you reminded me of this, Chad. I remember the first time I saw a smartphone, and I had a flip phone. And the only thing I did on that flip phone was make phone calls and send an occasional text. Of course, you know, sending text in those days when you had to enter like four touches for one letter. I don't know if anybody remembers that or not, but it was a pain. So I didn't do it a lot. And I remember a friend of mine said, oh, man, you got to get a smartphone. I'm like, what the heck do I need a smartphone for? The only thing I do with my phone is make calls and send an occasional text. Well, he spent about 5 minutes showing me what a smartphone could do. And I said, yeah, I got to have one of those. So, yeah, I think once people learn, you know, everything that AI can do, they're going to really be ready to embrace it. And that's why I admire some of the work that you're doing, Paul, because it really is an extremely powerful tool that can, I think, it's going to amplify the prosperity of the world more than anything else previously has done. And so you have important work to do. And I want to preface this, or I want to add to something I said. Anytime that you're utilizing any of the purposeful creative thinking methods that we go over on this show, don't be too rigid in your thinking, right? They're only designed to get your creative juices flowing. And if you come up with an idea, as I did, that I'm going to go over in a minute, if you come up with an idea that doesn't strictly meet the guidelines of that particular method, so what, right? Just go for it. So, Paul, the ideas that I came up with for you are on your newsletter. What if you, something I noticed about it, there really no images in there? And what if you eliminated some words in favor of pictures? And the reason I say that is pictures are easy to consume. And I can tell you from teaching creative thinking, people think in pictures, not in words. It's just easier to consume. They're more memorable and they can make an emotional connection. And the question that I have is, and you don't have to answer this right now, but can AI generated images be used? I know AI generates images, but could you use that in your newsletter? And the other idea that I had for your newsletter was to eliminate some paragraphs in favor of one or two sentence displays. And that seems to be counter to everything that anybody that's 30 years old would come up with. And your English teacher is not there to yell at you anymore. But it just makes the content easier to consume. But the best idea I think I came up with was, since some people are kind of slow to adopt AI, I think it's because they're fearful. And what if you could collaborate with another person who has a newsletter? I might even volunteer for that. Who believes in progressing into the future quickly, right? And co-author a piece that demonstrated what previous technologies what happened to jobs, progress, prosperity with those previous technologies. And I think because there could be a corollary that people would make, I think it would make adoption more likely. And the collaboration between two people who publish a newsletter eliminates the need for two separately written newsletters on that particular edition. So what are your thoughts about that, Paul?
I love them all. You know, and when I write my newsletters, I do struggle sometimes with trying to cut it back so it's not so, you know, too long to read. I love the picture idea. I started doing a little bit of that on my email one. Don't do it as much on the LinkedIn ones, but I love that feedback. I'm going to do that. I mean, I have Canva, I have iStock photo accounts, and they all have AI built into them. So if I'm looking for ideas, I can just go out and say, here's the subject, here's the paragraph, what pictures would be best here? And those things are pretty cool to come back with those ideas. Yes, I could get ChatGPT or Midjourney to help generate them too. But, you know, there are tools to do that pretty quickly. I love that concept. And the co-authoring is awesome. I had not really even considered that to go out there.
We will offer
some ideas. Yeah, let's do that. Because, you know, we can, and it could be based on the audience, targeted audience. We could just start with a very basics, right? How to overcome that fear, how to get the first step. What does your first prompt look like type stuff that we could do a lot of those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That brings up another question though, is, you know, and one thing that I talk about a lot, especially in sales, is, you know, AI is great for a lot of things and it's a wonderful tool even in sales, but you got to have that human touch, right? You still have to have that aspect, because at this point, and I'm sure AI will catch up at some point, probably sooner than later, but, you know, it doesn't have that history, the stories, the experiences, the lives that we've had that we can share. It doesn't have that emotional aspect to it, you know, to make that connection. And, you know, I think people that don't adopt the actual philosophy behind the technology are the ones that are really afraid of it. And what do you say when someone's really afraid of AI or thinks that it's there to take something from them? How do you kind of ease people out of that thought process, Paul?
So it's interesting. One of my articles today talked about that, where it went back and looked at the advent of the desktop computers landing on everyone's desk. Remember that? Basically, the mid-80s forward, everybody was afraid that was going to replace jobs and then people are going to go away. And it didn't. It created new jobs. But, you know, then so much the desktop computer. But then look at the tools. And this is where we still struggle today. Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. I'll just pick those three. There are a lot of people who think they're pretty good at those that are not really good at those. And there are people who will tell you, I don't know how to use them and stuff. And this is 20, 30 years beyond. So those tools we can't even get used to yet. So Gen AI is going to be that same path. So we've got to convince people by using that analogy, say, if you think you've gotten, it took you 10 years to get good at this, it needs to take you a little quicker to get better at Gen AI, because it's more powerful a tool than even a Word, Excel, or PowerPoint is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know a lot of salespeople. They're like, oh, it's going to take us over. They're going to, the automated emails and robocalls and all that. Like, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because people at the end of the day still buy from people and they still need an emotional connection. And they cannot have that with AI today. Again, maybe someday to a certain extent, but not really, you know?
Yeah. Human beings still matter.
Yeah. It really makes a huge difference. Makes a huge difference. You know, you were talking about, Bob, you know, in the idea creation, one thing I think that you forgot to mention, and maybe you can expound on it a little bit, is, you know, idea creation, the one thing I learned in going through your course and becoming a certified trainer in it is, you got to have fun. And it is a lot of fun. If you let yourself have
Absolutely.
Fun, all of a sudden the ideas get so much better. And, you know, what are some of the things you do to also instill that fun in people when they're doing that idea creation?
Well, you know, as you're aware, Chad, you know, our training it's gamified, right? I invented the What's the Big Idea creative thinking game, and it has a basic method built in. But we use every method that we use when we're doing training, virtual or live and in person, is we use that same format. It's friendly, competitive, right? And you got three teams. You got a creator team, you've got a competitor team, and you've got a customer team. And so, you know, just like Paul and I did here today, you know, we're coming up with ideas, and the competition is whose idea is better, right? So each one of the creator and the competitor team present their idea to the customer team. And just like in real world, the customer gets to decide, right? But as a client of mine said after training, this is many years ago now, he said, you know, the greatest thing about this game and this kind of training, he's like, when you win, and when you lose, you still win, right? Because you might be able to move forward that idea that lost. So it's a hell of a lot of fun. People giggle their heads off at the new ideas that they come
up with. Yeah, exactly. Well, I set that up. I mean, we're about 5 minutes over what we normally did. So anybody who's still watching, thank you for your extra time. Really appreciate that today. We get caught up in the conversation. Sometimes you just don't want to let it go. So I think what I'll do is I'll start wrapping up here just by saying that the three of us are always available to help you with your business. You can reach us through SpearPoint, which Bob will be talking about in a minute. You can also reach out to myself here on LinkedIn, as well as info@makeprospectingsuckless.com, which is my business's email, if you're looking to build a limitless pipeline. And Paul, how can people reach out to you?
Best way is on LinkedIn. You can look up Paul Carney Works as my LinkedIn profile out there, or you can also reach out to me at paul@perpetta.com.
Nice. And Bob, closing points?
Yeah, LinkedIn is probably the best way to reach me. You know, I've got a pretty broad presence on LinkedIn. A lot of people subscribe to my freaking brilliant ideas.
That's an understatement.
So, yeah. Well, listen, in the age of AI, if you do not know how to utilize purposeful creative thinking, you are going to be behind, because that is a uniquely human skill that you've got to have if you're going to thrive in the modern economy.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And with that very pertinent and very strong, relevant thought, I will say, everybody, have a great rest of your day. Thank you for your time and joining us. We look forward to seeing you again next week. And take care, everybody.
See you.